Welcome to the Art of Slowing Down to Quantum Leap podcast that I created especially for conscious introvert entrepreneurs. And if you desire to grow and quantum scale without the hustle and are ready to discover the missing pieces to effortlessly running a solo-led business, then this is for you. And I'm your host, Annalena Fuchs, a human design and energetic alignment coach. And my mission with this podcast is to provide you with a shortcut to your most aligned path to success and financial freedom using a powerful combination of human design, science, and spirituality. And I myself have shifted from working 9 to 5 to now enjoying the freedom of creating things on my own terms. And I want to help you do the same. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Art of Slowing Down podcast. It's Annalena here, your host, and I have an amazing special guest with me today. Her name is Marie Weidbrecht. And before I introduce you all formally, welcome. I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I already relax when I hear your voice.
Right, I'm so calm and grounding. And it's funny, actually, because I recorded another episode this week and it was the same. I was like, well, we're both Germans and we could do the episode in German, but we're going to talk in English.
Yes, we are. And yes. You can all listen to our German accents, which we do have.
I mean, look, I have been living in the US for 15 plus years and it doesn't seem to go anywhere. And I love it. So let me introduce you and then we're going to take it away. So Marie is a mentor and coach for female leaders, especially sensitive female leaders since 2017. And she also has been doing in-house workshops in companies. She is in a PhD in media studies about strong female characters in mainstream movies. And that's something super interesting. And after a career in media, she became a systemic coach, leadership embodiment coach, Hatha and Kundalini yoga teacher, Ayurvedic habits coach, and certified in human design. She went through our Aligned Living Human Design certification.
Yeah.
So we know each other pretty well. You're truly an amazing human. And one of the things in her story was this continuous topic of embodiment, right? It came up over and over again. And it's interesting because you wanted to become an actress in your 20s and you were being told that she was too much in her head, right? So interesting.
Yes.
And you also faced several diseases and imbalances in the body. And this really brought you to different modalities of incorporating and really looking at the body, such as meditation, yoga, Ayurveda, leadership embodiment, and then also most recently, human design, obviously. So you are in, so we're going to actually, because things have been changing in my world, you guys, you may have heard about it or not, but in regular tropical human design, Marie is a 5-1 sacral generator. And in cosmic human design, if you don't know what this is, we'll talk about this during this episode. She is a 2-4 manifesting generator. And the funny thing is that I am in tropical, a 2-4 manifesting generator, and in cosmic human design, I'm a 5-1 generator. So we are like a perfect mirror of each other. And we found out about this. So, but not to confuse you guys, we may talk a little bit more about this sometime during the episode, but we wanted to talk about a topic that is very dear to our hearts. So Marie, you wanna share?
Yeah, so what we wanted to talk about today is this misconception or misunderstanding that often happens in and around human design, that if you are a generator or a manifesting generator, if you have your sacral defined, just follow your bliss, just do what feels good. And that is not always it's not very easy to know what feels good. First off, You and I mean, I know that from myself. You said that in the beginning, I was in my 20s, I wanted to become an actress. And then I went to all the auditionings and I wanted to do that because I wanted to feel alive. And For me, that was always, I was raised in a very, one could say, cerebral environment. And also my chart, I have made the Jupiter, the unconscious Jupiter and Saturn are in gate 46, which is about embodiment. And for me, it's always been the body that has showed me, yeah, kind of the border, like stop, not like this. Like where my head wanted to go, and then the body said stop, and I got some weird, crazy disease or something, and had a lot of acne. And when I wanted to become an actress, I suddenly had a lot of acne on my whole face, and I couldn't even lie on my face or smile. Even I couldn't speak. And so, what I want to say with that is, so today we want to talk about this conception of what it actually is to follow your sacral. And there is this misconception of, oh, just do what you want and or do what you like. And a lot of us are blocked. And I can sing a song about it, if that's a saying. I can sing a lot of songs about being blocked in the sacral and not being connected to the body. And it's, to me, in my life, it's a spiral that keeps repeating itself, and I come to this block again and again, and then I but now I and now I have my modalities, and I feel a lot more embodied now. And yet I come, my body is always the thing that gives me the block. And that's I think a very important thing to learn, and to learn how to, yeah, how to navigate one, because we are these beings in the bodies, and we need to navigate ourselves. And so a lot of people understand that, yeah, if I miss a generator, I just follow my bliss. What does it mean? And yeah, how can we really feel it? And it's a training, and it's been a long way for me, and yeah, to get there.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up this question, because I think they are probably 70% of humanity who have the same question. And first of all, I want to say it's not that
If
simple.
they do know human design,
I mean, that's a good point. So those of you that know human design, and because about 70% is like a generator, manifesting generator, right? So first of all, I want to say what it not means. Following your bliss or following your sacral, where we have this way to respond, does not mean we can not do all the things we don't feel like. So if you just think about your regular life, yeah, the kitchen is full with dirty dishes. Is that following your
I don't
bliss?
feel like it.
Right? I mean, we have things we have to take care of in life. That's part of being an adult, especially. And there are things that are not like, oh my God, this is lighting up my sacral, yummy. So, also, if we think about habits, you know, I can tell you from my own experience, I'm a person, I need physical activity, and I'm struggling with that. I have
Yes,
faced
me
with
too, all my
coolness.
life.
And actually, I'm very grateful right now. I'm gonna bring in this cosmic human design right now, because in tropical human design, I have a defined will center. And I was more in this like, I need more rest, you know, because my will center needs rest. And now in cosmic human design, I have an undefined will center, and my root is defined and my spleen is defined. I have two freaking channels going from the root to the spleen.
Wow,
And if you remember from what we were talking about in the certification and what we say, people that have a channel from the root to the spleen center, you really have to be physically active, no matter what type you are, also projectors, right? And it was so good for me to see that. And right now, so I think you have seen like last, or actually, no, it was last year, since we're already in 2024. Almost about a year ago, I ran the Miami Half Marathon and I trained for it, and I felt so amazing. But I had a coach, I needed a coach. And I had trained already the year before, but then I got COVID and I couldn't actually participate in the half marathon. So I felt like, it's never going to happen. I felt a little bit defeated. But I went back and I picked it up again. It was not easy. And even while I was training, I got another like cold, and I was coughing for a couple of weeks. So I had to stop training again. But it was enough time to pick it up again. And then I actually did the half marathon and it felt amazing. And then obviously I stopped again too, because there was no goal, there was no, you know. And but I can tell you in the very beginning when I started to train, and the way I started to train was through responding, because my partner brought it up, hey, let's run the half marathon together. And it felt right in my body to do that. My mind was like, nah, I can't, or it's too much, or I have to take my daughter to school on these days. I don't know if I have enough, you know, capacity to do that. And it's a big commitment. But my body, it felt like life wants me to do that. So I was responding to that. It was not blissful in the beginning. It was like out of breath super quickly and like, oh, God damn it, you know. And I want to bring in a specific gate or jinky here right now, which is gate nine or jinky nine. So in the shadow, it's inertia. And that's where we are like not moving, right? I think actually the 952 channel in human design is sometimes called the couch potato. So it's like you feel like you're not moving at all, and it's so hard to get into the momentum. And in the Jinky, actually, you can read this in Richard Rudd's Jinky's book about the Jinky Nine. It actually says it does take some freaking willpower to move out of this inertia. You're not gonna like it in the beginning. It's gonna feel hard. But in the beginning, you have to keep pushing a little bit, you know? And eventually, I always think about a locomotive, you know, these old ones that are actually like, in the beginning, it's like really hard and it's not moving much. But
But once it's going,
once
it's
it's going,
going.
it's going, and it's going nicely and smooth and fast. And that's exactly how I experienced this. And this comes through the, I think the gift is determination. Is that correct? And I could feel that through that experience. But in the beginning, guys, it was not blissful. I had to have somebody kick my butt and call me out numerous times, because my habits, so we're creatures of habit. And when I first became a coach, I was a health coach, and I learned this. It's like we do what is familiar to us. If it's, and that is what also is safe, because we survived. So if I all my life was a lethargic person that doesn't work out much or always has inconsistent, you know, workout habit or routines and stuff like that, that feels safe to me. That's like, that's how I do. And I'm not this person that continuously works out. And I have been always telling me this story as well. Like, yeah, I go to the gym, but then I stop, you know, and almost like this is the story I have created. And I'm still working on this. Now, I also learned now in this cosmic true sidereal astrology and human design, my Chiron is now in Aries in house six. How interesting is that? That is so on point for me, because, you know, physical activity, showing up for myself, it's a freaking challenge for
House
me.
six is the house of habits, and
Yes, exactly.
Aries is about following your own impulse and going for it because you feel like it.
Exactly. And
Amazing.
before, Chiron was in the fifth house and in a different placement, and it felt kind of, yeah, but now it feels like yes, like a full body yes.
Yeah,
So
so interesting.
this is just to say that, you know, following your bliss can easily mean, when we do it from a conditioned way, that we're just staying stuck in our old habits that are not really serving us, just because that's how we know, that's what's familiar. And
And as you say that, oh, sorry, yeah, can I just
yeah, go ahead.
second that? Because that's exactly my experience. And I think it also has. Or very similar. My experience is very similar, and I think it also has to do a lot with what we call conditioning in human design, and also, of course, with more or less severe degrees of childhood trauma of where do we feel safe. And I always went and hid behind a book because it was not so safe to feel my own feelings. We could even go back to that. And for me, it's been so hard to establish this regular movement in the morning. I always, like from Ayurveda, I know it's good to move in the morning before even having breakfast to air out the whole body. And I know it's been like I've been doing that since I'm 20 maybe now, but on and off also, and it's been so hard. It's that's been the hardest thing in my life to incorporate. It's very similar to what you are sharing, but I can tell it's like night and day whether I do it or don't do it. And I can I like when I now look back at how I felt as a teenager, like hiding behind a book, having acne, and yeah, of course I did, because I was not in my body. I did not even feel it. And I'm seeing that a lot also when I'm giving like when I'm giving seminars with people in a life setting, and I say like for example on leadership embodiment, where it's about the posture and the breathing and how we can just by sitting more upright and breathing more deeply, how we can come into a totally different state than being hunched over and like this. And I always say to them, hey, before the workshop, please amp up your yoga, amp up your walks in the forest. And they say, oh, we don't have time for it. And I'm just seeing how our culture has become so unnatural in the way of how we learn to move and how we don't move. A lot of people get up in the morning and have coffee and then go to work and they don't move. And I just got this, like several times I got the very hard message or very severe message from the universe, for you it doesn't work like this. Because I get so disembodied, I get so cut off and also constipated and things like that.
Oh,
Yeah. And
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
lots of people are. And
We're all constipated.
and yeah, well, and also on an energetic level, like, and that's, I guess, well, that's the gift that human design is bringing us. It says, I mean, it's almost like a taboo, like 76% of the population are apparently generators or manifesting generators. And it says, like, make your decisions from your sexual creative center. Like, how taboo
I
is
mean,
that
yeah, it's
in
difficult
this
because
world?
in the society we live in, we are so much in the head, and we, like you say, we have these super sedentary lifestyles, and yeah, we're not connected to our sacral. And this is why the things that you have been studying, right? Like yoga, Kundalini, Ayurvedic principles, this is all about getting out of the head and into your body. And one of the things which I find also with human design not helpful sometimes for people is that there's so much information, and people think that, okay, I need to follow my bliss and I need to do it this way. It's all in the head. It's just information. Information will never
I
get you
always,
results.
what I see a lot is that people say, yes, I need to follow my bliss now, but I need to think about what my bliss is. And that's just plain
That's
wrong.
not gonna work. No.
It's about asking yourself, like, what, like, and even if you feel numb, if you don't feel anything right now, then it's a no for the moment. And then the question is, what could I do to feel a little bit more bliss in this moment right now? Could I shift my posture? Do I need a sip of tea, or do I need a warming bottle? Do I perhaps have cold feet, or do I need to stretch a little bit? What? And that's bringing us into the body. And there's also a lot of talk around this. Oh yeah, let's all be so embodied and juicy. And I see a lot of women too, for whom that seems very far away and out of reach. And it's intimidating also to see the sexy women on Instagram who are so juicy and embodied all the time. And actually, what the first step towards that is just like, yeah, taking a breath, for example, just slowing down.
I mean, thanks for sharing all of this, because I think honestly, following whatever we see on Instagram is the worst thing we can do, because we start to compare ourselves. And it's actually funny, today I had something on my I posted something on Instagram, but by it was more like a typo, but what it came out to was attention spam with an M,
Oh, great.
right? I mean, we have so much spam on there, you don't even know what you see on is real. They may feel miserable, but they just put up this sexy video and display something there that's not even reality. And what you say, it starts with slowing down and ask yourself, what brings you joy in some way, but you have to move your body. If you're not moving your body, nothing is gonna, because the sacral is blocked for most of us because we have a lot of suppressed emotions all our life. We have been suppressing our truth. We have learned it's not safe to cry, it's not safe to do all the things. And most of us are like recovering people pleasers, right? And we have to start moving this stuff. And there's lots of stuff. I love EFT tapping. There's also like you just really feel your emotions and express them with your voice. I mean, for me, actually, one of the things of opening up my sacral was also my podcast, because I learn and practice over and over again to speak, but also moving your body.
Yeah,
Because
so
so
important. So important. I mean, I can only stress that. And I mean, I did yoga for many, many years, and I started Buddhist meditation when I was 21. And that brought me to some place, but it didn't push me through the blocks that I still had. And that I found through Kundalini yoga, because it's so intense and you're pushing your body through the limit. And there were several moments, I mean, a good practice, a good Kundalini yoga practice is one where in a class or in a kriya you practice, you go beyond the point where it's comfortable or where it's easy. And you push through it, and you push out old blocks, and you push out energetic blocks. And it's also even ancestral, I feel, for us, especially with the sacral. And the sacral is, that's the creativity. That's how we live. It's not just sexuality, it's creativity. It's, as you say, it's the podcast. It's talking, it's painting, it's just also running a business. It can be super creative. You can run your business from your sacral, totally.
And
But you
one
can
thing.
also like be very blocked there and think, try to think it through all the time, and then it becomes super strenuous.
And one thing I want to say, I mean, right now this conversation is more geared towards generators and manifesting generators, but this also applies for all the other types. Because even all the sacral gates, there's nine gates coming off the sacral center. Most of you will probably have at least one of them defined if you're a manifester, reflector, or projector. And you're constantly around the sacral energy as well. So all the centers apply to all of us, right? It's just we experience it more consistently or more inconsistent, but we are all here to respond to life. And also for women, because there's lots of books out there about how to activate the womb space. This is not just for generators and manifesting generators. This
Of
is
course.
really about opening up your sacral. And when you read what people have experienced, it's always about sharing your truth, moving your body, and what you also share with the comfort zone that is so true. And, we can always take things to the extreme where we're like, yeah, I have to jump off the cliff and do the crazy thing. I'm not a big fan of that, but I do believe it's very healthy. I like to say, like, you keep stretching your comfort zone little by little, because I think, especially for highly sensitive people like
But that's a
us.
difference. Like jumping off a cliff. I mean, I have done bungee jumping and things like that, parachuting. And I don't think I necessarily do need to do that again, because I also was disembodied when I did that. I was like out of my body. But then I like afterwards, oh yeah, great, I did that. But if you stay conscious, and if you push yourself, for example, like what you shared with the marathon training, and if you stay alert, awake in the body, or if I do a Kundalini yoga practice and I stay in my body while I do it, then I get the effect, I guess.
Yeah, it's this. So if you focus on just 1% a day to stretch yourself a little bit, this can be with physical activity, because it also makes common sense. If I try to run a marathon tomorrow after I just started training again, it's probably going to hurt my body because it's too much. But if I just stretch myself a little bit, where I get out of breath, and then I keep doing it every day. Another way to stretch you out of your comfort zone a little bit is somebody says something and you feel fear when you want to speak your truth, but then you say it anyway. So this is one of the things with my podcast that's been helping me so much, because there are things that I say today, like I would have cared, oh my God, so much before. I wouldn't have said it. And now I'm just like, and people tell me all the time, you're so real. And because I have been building this muscle and I have been showing up every single week, and even with my podcast. So I launched the podcast because it was really showing up and I kept responding to it. And it was like life was showing me, Annalena, launch your podcast. So I did it. There have been ups and downs on the way. There have been weeks I didn't feel like it. But I have made a commitment here. That's also what the gate nine is about. Like, it's that determined and the 29, it flows actually into the, then the 29 and then the 46. Like, I have committed to it. Now, if it would feel off for a month and month and month and everything would show me like you're not supposed to do it anymore, it's a different story. But I have consistently come out of this plateau and then I have a new upsurge. And like right now, for example, I got a new microphone. That's why the it sounds so amazing. And it gives me a new sense of like joy and bliss for my podcast because it's kind of fancy. But you know, I was good for 2 years not having it. I had to build the muscle of showing up consistently first. And now I'm like, okay, I think I deserve a nice microphone. I think I have shown up.
And that is very similar to marathon training or to regular Kundalini yoga practice. It's not fun all the time, but you do it because you like how you feel afterwards, and it gets you to somewhere, to a place. And I just see this. There's this coined term, there's this term spiritual bypassing of saying like, oh, I'm not feeling it. And I was in a in several spiritual communities for some time where it was just about going with the flow and doing what you feel like. And I had to really sit in that soup for a bit until I couldn't anymore because it wasn't taking me anywhere. And it's, I feel it's so, of course we all need, I mean, and we are also saying, okay, slow down, take a breath. But we're not saying slow down and take a breath and don't do anything anymore today, all day. And that's feminine. Only then you are feminine if you, and that, especially with women, I see that a lot. I'm working a lot with women and there's this notion that it's feminine to do nothing. It's feminine to be passive. No, that's cultural conditioning. Actually, if you, for example, look at the Indian culture, how the goddess figures, how they are, how sexy, how embodied they are, and how powerful they are, it's they are not passive. That's the Western paradigm, where the virgin is the chaste, quiet one, and that's where we can start to move out of also.
Yeah. So in response to that, what I think is happening in the world, we have gone from one to the other extreme. We were so much in the masculine hustle and push and force. And obviously, I think 80, 90% of humans got burned out in some way. And that puts us into the other extreme. And now it's all about the flow and the ease and the effortlessness and all of that.
In some realms, not in all.
But kind of in our, I think in our space, actually.
In our bubble, yes.
Yeah. and you know, I talk a lot about ease and effortlessness, and I really stand by it. But we have to also be careful how we define it. For example, the term effortlessness, there are people that think this means not to put any effort, not ever work hard. But effortlessness, all it means is not to put unnecessary effort into something. Because let's say something is really not meant for you. You know, like, for example, even physical activity, running is not the best thing for everybody. There could be a person that constantly gets injured and you keep pushing and pushing and you put too much effort into it and you keep forcing it, even though life keeps showing you like, hey, maybe swimming is the thing for you, but you're not listening. And effortlessness is just that you choose the path of least resistance. Where of course you put effort into it, but just like the locomotive, at some point it's just rolling and it's going and it's just this little bit, but you have to keep moving so that you keep staying on the path and you don't stop. And also ease is the same thing for me. It's simply that I don't make it unnecessarily complicated or difficult because I'm getting into my head and I'm doing the things that I think I should do versus what my body is clearly showing me. And we obviously have to take action. So I also am a big fan of flow. I love flow. But if I'm only going with the flow, I'm not going to get done anything.
Yeah.
You know, especially when I still have these old habits that are not serving me and telling me like, don't do anything, right? And
Yeah.
this is why it has become more and more important for me in my business to put in structures. Like this podcast, it's a
Yeah.
masculine structure that I have set up for myself where I show up every week. It's a commitment to myself, to my audience. And within that structure, I flow. I talk to
Exactly.
the people I like. Sometimes I do a solo episode. I switch up things. I connect to a variety of people. Sometimes I record, like these next few weeks, I have a lot of interviews scheduled for podcast recordings. And that's going to be nice for me because for the next 2 months, I don't have to think about much and I have all these episodes lined up. Before that, I had a time the last month and a half. I think I mostly did solo episodes and I literally recorded them often the Monday before the day, I mean, the day before I actually put it out there. So, and it works for me and
There's
it's,
phases. There's always
yeah.
phases, and it's good to then kind of tune in without overstretching that phrase to tune in. But and I'm also super structured. I have my weekly plan, but then I go with the flow and see, okay, how can I find joy in this right now? What do I want to do? Which angle do I want to look at it from? And et cetera.
Yeah, that's a good example too. I always recommend, like, at the beginning of the week, write down the things that need to get done because there's most likely plenty. Also, you can kind of scan what is really necessary, what has priority to keep moving the needle, to keep making impact in your business. Also, in your personal life, there are some things that you know need to get done. But then, don't put it on a specific time where you feel like you have to do it because your body may just not feel ready or it may feel unnecessary hard to do it at
Yeah,
that point.
that's the super old quote unquote masculine paradigm. This like, okay, now in these 20 minutes, like planning out the week, okay, in these 20 minutes I have to write that email, and in those 40 sec 45 minutes I have to do this and so on. That's I don't feel that works for a lot of people really well if it's
So,
too boxed in.
yeah. And even sometimes, I mean, with us ladies, right? We get our period, and sometimes now I do take a day off because I'm feeling off. And then, guess what? The next or the 2 days after, all of a sudden, I'm so in the flow and I get everything done super quick. But if I would force myself to do it at the time I think I have to do it, but it really doesn't have to get done, then I tend to make mistakes, I get frustrated, and I get distracted, and it's just not. So, yes, some structure, but then I give myself permission to flow with that. And obviously, for that, we have to slow down. And I'm just wondering if we answer this question, you know, what it means to go with your bliss and responding, right, as a generator. So, I think the main thing is, especially for things where you invest time, right? It's a bigger commitment for you. Don't just jump on an idea from excitement. That's in the head. I always like to say, make a list of your ideas, of the things that you think light you up, and then lean back, wait, slow down, and let life show you what is really that thing that you're supposed to pursue. And I have noticed for myself if something either intuitively comes up for me, for example, like reach out to this person, you know, or if it's writing a book. I mean, we have this like, I'm in the process right now, at least started. It keeps showing up. I had the idea maybe 2 years ago, but it was just my idea. And at some point, it keeps showing up on the external. Either you see that topic that you thought about on social media consistently, or you read it in the magazine, or people keep asking you about it, then there's something there. And if it feels good and clear, light and expansive in your body, that's the universe showing you like here. And then because we have fears, it may very well be that then you're like, but what if I'm gonna fail? What if I'm not gonna know enough? What is gonna happen? What if you? And I don't know what I just said. It sounded funny. And these are those fears. Look at them, feel them, but then do the thing anyways. Because if the body first has this clear pull and then the fear comes up, that's just the regular fears we have and all conditioning. But if from the get-go, something, let's say somebody tells you, oh my God, you should launch a YouTube channel or something like that, but it just feels not right in your body whatsoever. That's a no. And it can change
It
over time.
does. It does. And so often I have the experience that so often people want, I mean, I know that from my own experience too. So often there's things that we want that they feel right for us, but because they may be like a lucrative career or something like that, but we can't force it. And that's the thing with the body, we can't force it. And I would also recommend to start with something small and not with the big, like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? But to know like where the sacral is leading you is really like what you always teach, Annalena, with this, like, do I want this or this for dinner? And then it's really a training. And you gave us this exercise where you just asked, like, do you like sunshine? And yes. And this feeling, I remember this so well, because that's when you asked me the question, do you like sunshine? You just asked a couple of yes or no questions in the training. And for me, it was like, oh yeah, I do. Or I think you even said, do you like traveling? And for me, it was like in my head, I think it was still like time of lockdown. And I was like, no, I don't want to travel so much. But my body went, yes. And
Interesting.
That was such an important experience for me, what it feels like when my body says yes, as opposed to what I think, what I should answer. I mean, I have been training this, and as you also say, it feels different for everyone in the body. And I think by now I can pretty much navigate through my day and just go for what feels right in whatever, like whatever, in whichever moment. And what I sometimes have is that for example, when I write something and I get stuck, then I go and cook a tea, or then I go and put on a washing machine, even though I don't want to be distracted so much by household and so on. But I just get moving in some ways, or I go for a walk or something like that. And then most of the time, I then get the good ideas. And where I was trying to get to was what I'm finding now is that most of the time I can already, like, it's very easy for me. But I've been training this for 1.5 years, which is actually not such a long time. But what also works is muscle testing. Have you tried it?
I mean, I don't do it much, but absolutely. The muscle testing just works like if you're
Yeah.
cleaning. That's is when I always say this light expansive feeling. It's like when your body
Yeah.
is more moving forward, and the emotion code, for
Or
example,
for example, yeah.
or with this, right? There are
Yeah,
different
you
ways
just
with the
say,
hands.
I mean, there are different ways, and you can do it with the body. Falling forward means a yes, and going like kind of back is a no. And this took also some practice for me, and I'm now working with clients like this, that they learn to test them for themselves. Like, give me a yes, give me a no.
Yeah, with the hands, exactly.
And I'm saying, okay, I'm a generator, and I'm also a manifesting generator. Yes. Right? So, and it's giving me the answers. And even to questions that are big in life. And the important thing is that I think this is still connected to the sacral, because it's the body, and it's somehow that's just coming up now, that maybe that's a very weird theory I'm putting up. But for me, this feels very connected to the sacral, or to the whole body, or what we would call it, like a full body yes. That would be a full body yes. And this would be like, the sacral going, and the more important thing is that it always just is valid for the moment, and it may be different tomorrow. And so just test it again.
So I agree with you because all this is about is head versus body. You know, and even for you, all the other types out there, if you have splenic authority, it's a feeling in the body or in the head. Usually when we hesitate, we're in the head. Because we're trying
Yes.
to think about it. This
Yes.
is also why, so Marie was saying this is yes or no questions and how we can really train the sequel. The more you get other people ask you yes or no questions, because if you ask yourself a yes or no question, you already try to think about what the answer should be most likely. That's why I also always give people the exercise, go to the grocery store and just see what do you want. What is your body, you know, instead of writing down what you think you should eat for dinner tonight. And when you go to a restaurant, look at the things. Do you want it or not? Because I know for myself, when I was younger and I was at a restaurant, I looked at the menu, I always had a tendency, because I like to save money and not overspend, I would just order what's the cheapest instead of allowing myself to eat what I really wanted to eat.
Or I same me or I would think like oh, what should I eat? What did I read? Like whatever
Yeah,
diet I
what's
was following
healthy?
at that time.
Yeah, let's get the
Yes.
salad with chicken, but it's like really not that great. So the more you allow yourself to do the things that really light you up, and sometimes this is spending a little bit more money. Other times it's not spending the money. I'm at a point right now where I can clearly feel in my body. For example, when I go to the mall, like my daughter, she's shopping obsessed. She's like the little mini me, how I used to be when I was younger. And I can so clearly feel now in my body when it's not time to spend. It's just my body is clearly showing me. And then there are other times where it's like, Mona Lena, come on, get yourself some nice pair of shoes. And even though my mind is like, well, but I shouldn't spend money right now, it feels right in the body. And that's one thing I have been learning to really follow with spending money as well. And obviously, this goes back now to the coaching space. With making aligned purchasing decisions, like I made in the beginning, most decisions I made were so misaligned because I bought from a hyped up space. I amplified some other people's emotions and I thought, oh my God, this is so exciting. And I thought in my head, this is what I need. They have the answer for me.
Yeah, and it's a FOMO driven. It's a okay, I'm missing out if I don't do this. And
Or they
yeah, I've
know
also
more
come
than
to
I do.
Oh, I need this. I will not make it without this. And I've also come to a place where I enjoy not spending. And I've clearly overspent a little bit in the past here and there. And it's also good learning. I mean, don't beat yourself up for it. It's a good learning. And then afterwards, you know what it feels to not make it, and like remember what it, I think you even said that to me once. Remember what it felt like when you spent that money on that, like when you made that decision. And then, and today I'm like, especially this year, like my husband and me, we were talking like, we don't like what the supermarkets are doing anymore. Let's just not spend money at supermarkets anymore. Let's just go to the farmers market or to the farmers directly. We live in the countryside here, and we're like, yeah, that sounds exciting. And even though it's kind of it's a constraint and the convenience is taken away of, oh yeah, just going to the supermarket, it feels so good. It feels so good. And I just went to the farmer today and bought a whole basket of vegetables, just organic and from the farmer. And it takes a little bit more time, but it brings me so much joy. And that's a kind of a little thing, a small thing, but it makes a big difference.
This is interesting because I remember years ago. So, I mean, here in South Florida, we don't have that many farmers and stuff, but there is a little farmers market pretty close by to here. And I remember many years ago, these were my most blissful moments when I actually on the weekend took the time, I went there and I bought the stuff. And now that you're talking about it, I need to do that more again because it's such a blissful, that's when we are in this blissful and we're doing the right thing because let's think about it. This is supporting people locally here that are actually making the effort to grow and really nurture the soil and the earth with organic farming. And if we keep buying from grocery stores, I mean, there's a lot of pesticides involved, let's be real. But yeah, it's the convenience. And this is only going to change the more we change our demand, right? And we make different decisions. And it's true. My body's also totally, even if we're just talking about it, I mean, for me, getting these pasteurized eggs, not pasteurized eggs, but
Pasture,
yeah, from the pasture. So we're actually chickens are living on the soil and they're eating the worms and the dirt and they're not getting fed all this like grains that they're not usually eating and all grass-fed beef products. Oh my God, that brings me so much joy. And I rather eat less meat, but the good
Yeah,
meat,
of
because it's
course. Yeah,
just,
me
oh my
too.
gosh, it's such a difference.
We get meat here from also from a local farmer, and it's tastes so good. And wow.
Yeah, so
Now we talk about your sourdough bread. No.
yeah, that's another thing. I mean, I bake my own German sourdough bread here, and that's exactly, you have no idea how I feel when I smell it, when I bake it, when I come home, and I even when I don't cook right now, I always have my bread in the I have it in the freezer here, because you know in Florida you cannot leave things out for too long, and I feel rich with that. Having this pure organic, homemade, no artificial sweeteners or preservatives whatsoever in it. And yeah, and that's what it means to follow your bliss.
And see how our conversation just went to this, like, oh yeah, this is what I like. Oh yeah, and this, and it got almost sensual, very much about, like, oh yeah, the texture, the how it smells, and yeah, oh yeah, and that's really the way of the sacral and of the creative, where the creativity starts then, that where, yeah, that we go to what we feel drawn to,
No,
and
I
it's
think,
it really starts with the senses and the body.
yeah, and especially also with the food. I mean, I have noticed over and over again, I'm the happiest and most content when I have good food in my fridge and I eat well. If I don't, I feel crappy, I'm not very creative, and the more I nurture that part of me, the more everything else flows.
And it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be super expensive either.
No, exactly. Like my bread is super simple.
Wow. I need to get your recipe. I also, I mean, I am in Germany, but I would like to get your recipe,
Yeah,
actually.
I have it up on YouTube. I'll send you the link.
Oh, great. Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, I did it a couple of
Okay.
years ago because many people have asked me for it. No, and it's really funny. My sister actually now she has a cafe in Cologne.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she's also making the bread there, so it's kind of
Wow.
a big deal. It was famous when we were growing up, I remember. Even in Germany, where we already have good bread, our bread, we call it the Fuchs bread, the fox or fox bread in English, always was very popular and people really loved it
So
because,
is it like an inherited family recipe or?
yeah, my mom started baking it, and obviously she got the recipe from somebody that I don't have the name in my head right now, but I think she started baking it when she was pregnant with me. And ever since then, I mean, we grew up with this bread. That's all we know. And I'm so grateful for that because anytime where I eat too much like white flour products or feel off,
No,
I'm
not.
craving the whole grain bread. And most people are craving sugar and stuff, but no, I'm craving the real deal bread.
And that's what it's like to train your sacral.
Yeah, so I think Marie, you said it, focus on the little things, you know? It's not about don't even look too much in your business, like do I like writing emails or whatever? Like look at your personal daily life and what are some things that can enrich you? And this could be as simple as going outside naked feet walking on the grass every day or doing a funny dance in the kitchen every morning or singing while you're in the shower. What are those things that get you out of your head and get you into your body? And it all
I
goes
think
down
commitment,
to
the you just said the key word again, commit. I also have gate 29 defined. For me, that's super important also. And it's the sac it's a sacral gate. And yeah, committing to somehow being in the body
Yeah,
and
and being in the
to
moment.
nurturing the body and to
And this is really all about what Eckhart Tolle has been trying to tell all of us for years and decades is the power of now. We're missing out on life when we are constantly overthinking and overanalyzing everything. And the more we can be in the body, the more we can also really be in the present moment. And your body is your guiding compass. It shows you what's next to do. And sometimes you may not feel like it because you're so conditioned to your old self and how you used to be doing things. And your sacral definitely takes you to new territory. It takes you to change.
And maybe to sum it up, we have been, as a species, we have been very much in the mind for the past centuries, and it's a retraining to get back in the body, and it's cultural deconditioning what you're doing, and it's also cultural change work you are doing for yourself and for others, and I think if we were all if we were all more in our bodies, we would live in a much more peaceful, more aligned world. And that's
Absolutely.
for sure. And so that's what it's about for every one of us.
Yeah. I love that. So, Marie, I would love to hear from you now how
Yes.
people can reach out to you, how can they work with you? And I know you have a little special offer right now, especially for the German folks going on. So tell us a little bit about
Yes.
that.
So I do work with women who are in leadership in any ways, whichever way, shape, or form that takes. I do run mentoring programs, and I actually don't offer human design readings, actually only to the people who are in my mentoring, because we go deep into it. And I'm not a fan of, okay, you get one reading and then goodbye, because then exactly these things we talked about happen. Obviously. And I can offer you a package of two human design sessions for a special price of 222 euros. That's a super special price. With the code SLOWDOWN, you can reach out
Love
to
it.
me. You find the email address in the show notes, and then I'll send you a link so we can book your sessions. And 2 hours in 2 hours we can really get to some place, like in your chart, and we can really see, like, okay, what are the challenges, what are your strengths. And I've become quite intuitive by now with reading charts and just looking at them. And
Yeah. Awesome. And just to add on, it's valid, the special pricing code for anybody that books it by February 29th, right? Of 2024. Just in case you're listening to
Yes,
this episode
exactly.
later on this year, this is a limited time offer. But obviously, if you listen to this later, reach out to Marie. She probably has some other amazing things going on.
Yes,
Yeah.
please. And also, if you speak English, then also reach out to me, and I'd also like to hear from you. If you
Yeah.
like to connect, just send me an
Yeah.
email or connect on Instagram. It's at Dr. Marie Weidbrecht,
Yeah.
also in the show
Actually,
notes.
I wanted to say I didn't introduce you as doctor because you have a PhD, so yes, you are a Dr. Marie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, this was
Yeah, thank
wonderful,
you.
and I really loved this conversation. So we didn't go much deeper into the whole cosmic human design, but I'll do another episode about this at some point. I've already sharing a little bit about this with some of my audience. It's more a little bit advanced human design, but somehow this is coming up and my sacral experiences a bunch of bliss from it. So I'll see where it takes me.
Yeah, same here. I want to be part of that conversation there for sure.
Yeah, we will keep it up. So
Yeah.
thank you, Marie, so much for being here. Before we get off,
Thank
I always
you.
have this big audacious question for my guests. What's one thing that you would like a nugget of wisdom that you want to leave the listeners with?
The nugget of wisdom that's very prevalent right now is, it's as hard to not do the thing than to do it.
Especially in the long run and the thing with regret,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I wish I would have started a year ago.
It's the same energy you use, or it costs the same energy to not do the thing, to avoid it, than to do it.
And
If it's meant for you.
maybe even more down the line, right? Now that I'm thinking about it. I love it. I'm glad I asked. Thank you. Wonderful. Thanks again, Marie. This was wonderful.
Yeah,
Thank you,
thank
listeners,
you.
for being here with us today. I hope you enjoyed this beautiful new advanced audio sound.
I certainly did. It sounds really professional.
Yeah, it's like I'm gonna keep this
Yeah.
mic. I'm gonna do another video about what mic this is, so
Yeah,
you will
great.
know. Awesome. So I'm happy and excited as always to be with you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, then please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And if you also know someone that you know in your heart could benefit from listening to this podcast, then I invite you to please share and help me reach more conscious leaders so we together can create global impact. I truly appreciate you and see you next time.